Hi, everybody. I'm just near the bar, which is always a dangerous spot because you end up like either drinking or talking. And I got told by Eva that I needed to talk to you. You were important to talk to, and you have
seriously.
A lot of people. Yeah, seriously. So, what's your name?
My name is Rich McKinnon.
Hello, Rich.
Yeah.
So tonight, what did you expect? How did things sort of go throughout the night, and what did you take away that was different, maybe?
Well, you know, I came here with a purpose because I'm planning on throwing my own festival in October, and it's called BorgFest. It's a cyborg celebration.
Awesome.
And it's about augmentation, enhancement, modification, and wearables. And, you know, when I found out that this amazing constellation of minds and personalities were going to be assembled here all at one time, I had to make the trip.
Right.
So, I mean, you saw me talking to Neil Harbison.
Sorry to pull you out of that.
That's okay. We've been in touch. But, I mean, it's that type of, you know, for me, it was the opportunity to speak with sort of the people who are working in the field and the people who are the field, so
right.
to speak.
Right.
So, but to your question, I was very much surprised and not by the constituency for the Luddite comments.
Me too. I'll be honest. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Right. I mean, I'm fully prepared for what will I call it? Like a protest, so to speak, at a cyborg celebration.
Right.
Because in many ways, I'm modeling BorgFest after the gay rights movement,
okay.
Right? I mean, it's meant to be more of a celebration, expo, and festival than it is more of an academic, intellectual conference, right? So a pride movement. And of course, you know, being gay myself, it's not a gay parade unless you have protesters.
You know,
Jesus hates you type of thing.
Right.
God hates you, right? So I was actually surprised, and I'm wondering, you know, how much more there is below the surface before we do start to see, you know, outright fear and disgust, and you know.
And to extrapolate on that, let me deconstruct that a little bit and break it apart. Do you think that before we can get into this as a dialogue, that there's an education in terms of terminology that we need to have here? It seems to me that there's an education process that needs to happen. I mean the Luddite comments, I mean, it was all linked to capitalism, and I find that like a, you know, there's so much more in there that needs to be extracted. I just feel that there's a lot of terminology throughout the night that people needed to hear. I think there's an audience of 130, 160 people that don't necessarily know about human enhancement.
Right.
And I don't know if they heard what they wanted to hear properly.
Well, you know, you're right. There was a very intellectual kind of basis for the Luddite. You weren't even the history of Luddism, right? But I actually was trying to extrapolate that to more to the general sentiment that might be felt by the general audience. And I think what I heard was really more of a naturalistic argument. You know, we are born naturally, but some of us naturally will not have the same capabilities as others. And we should accept those rather than constantly try to correct those. So I see it as a naturalistic argument. But, you know, as you know, the one guy pointed out, you know, he's wearing glasses, you know, and he tried to defend the fact that he was wearing glasses, but he wasn't successful at all. I didn't see how his glasses were any different from it. Basically a special hearing aid or a special...
Right.
Well,
there were two
hearing aids, yeah.
Right.
I mean, so it didn't make any sense. And then I really did sympathize with the woman who identified herself as among the oldest in the audience, you know, because, you know, there is a lot of ageism in our youth-oriented culture.
Sure.
I mean, in a strange way, we have a very pedophiliac culture.
No, I agree.
You know? You know, we revile it, yet at the same time we are it.
We subscribe to it and revile it at the same time.
So,
right.
Yeah, so being an older person, I can see how that just is uncomfortable and et cetera. But on the other hand, you know, we are all living so much, we're living longer than our parents and our grandparents, and that's a benefit of this technology, and I wonder how old she would have been when she would have died if it wasn't for some kind of medical intervention.
Mind if I join you for a moment?
Yeah, so so there's like, you know, is she on some kind of medicines, or did she have any surgeries that weren't necessarily naturalistic?
Right.
You see? And so, you know, one of the things that one of the Luddites said to me afterwards, and I think he said this almost confessionarily, was they're willing to accept the technologies that they're willing to accept.
Well, that's always going to be the case.
Yes.
Right?
And everything else is not acceptable and must be stopped.
Which kind of feels like a mute argument to me.
Well, you
like,
know.
I mean, like, if you don't bring anything...
I kind of
understand of, like,
yeah,
making sure that you have those signals to make sure that we're doing things in the right way.
Right.
I get that.
Yeah.
But, like, bring something more to the mix. It seems very muted to
me. Well, at least he was honest enough to admit it.
Right.
A lot of Luddites wouldn't have. The other thing that was really strange to me was how fascism was turned on its head. Because the naturalistics, right, they are, in a way, their fascism is in what's natural, whatever that is, right? And anything beyond what that is somehow deviating from the group norm and should be squelched. But when you look at the people that had modified themselves, they didn't simply modify themselves to fit back into the group.
No.
They went beyond. They're exploring special capabilities which would somehow differentiate them and express their identities as individuals. It was like anti-fascist.
Yeah.
Look at Neil, he's dressed like a parrot. He's
right.
Like, how can you possibly be a fascist?
But also what I thought was interesting is that it wasn't no longer about somebody having a modification. It was about not necessarily enhancing it, but almost like stylizing it to be acceptable with the conditions that people have set for now. You know, like, so that lady has got a prosthetic limb, like, sort of conditioned out, almost like looking like Iron Man.
Yeah.
In some way. And she's happy with it. But also, it's created a new dialogue for her because people don't look at her in a certain way.
Exactly.
And I just think we need to find new terminology for that, really.
Right.
Because I think there's an education process in there that, you know, we got used to the idea that somebody lost their limb and I'm sorry, that's horrible, et cetera, et cetera. And then we re-enabled them again. And then now we have this new agenda of, like, almost stylizing this thing.
Right.
And I don't think there's any terminology
for
that right now.
There is a word for it. It's called fabulous, and the gay people invented that when they came out of the closet.